Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women rolled away from the tomb, hurried away from the tomb. It's a great image, isn't it? The women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So do you believe that on the first Easter day, God raised Jesus from the dead? Certainly, the reason the first Christians gave for following Jesus was their absolute certainty that God had raised Jesus from the dead. In fact, there's no accounting for the rise of Christianity without a risen Jesus. Would you sacrifice yourself as a martyr if all the time you knew that Jesus hadn't really risen from the dead? The first Christians claimed to have encountered Jesus, whom they embraced as the risen Lord. What was Jesus without the resurrection? A traveling Jewish rabbi? Well, there were many of those. Jesus of Nazareth, who died an agonizing and shameful death on a Roman cross outside Jerusalem. Plenty of people were crucified, but we don't worship them today. The first Christians met the risen Jesus. And as they worked that out, a lot of things changed. Writers comment on a new dignity given to women in contrast to classical culture. We see that in today's Bible reading. The transformation of the disciples from cowards to heroes. A self-denying healthcare provided to plague sufferers. A remarkable change in worship from the Sabbath to Sunday. A willingness to embrace death as martyrs, because they knew that death did not have the final word in the human story. Living as if they knew the outcome of history itself. And now we do know the outcome of history itself. We know that God made the world, and therefore life has meaning and purpose. He loved the world so much, he gave Jesus to leave the glory of heaven, to be born in poverty, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross in our place, that we might be forgiven. And then he raises Jesus from the dead to show that Jesus is God, death cannot hold him, and to show that Jesus' death on the cross worked. Sin is paid for. God invites all of us into a relationship with himself. I was reading about a Muslim student who came to believe in Jesus Christ. One of his friends was shocked and asked him, "Why did you become a follower of Jesus?" Here was his response. "It's simple, really. Imagine you're walking down a road and you come to a fork in the road and there are two people there to follow as your guide along the way. One of them is dead and one of them is alive. Which one would you follow?" The great appeal of Christianity is that Jesus, its founder, is not dead, but alive. And even after the hype of Easter Sunday fades into the grind of Monday, Jesus is still alive. And because he lives, people should seek him, worship him, and obey him. That's what happens in our Bible reading. It's the day after the Sabbath, so it's Sunday, it's dawn. And Jesus' supporters, Mary Magdalene and another Mary, come to look for Jesus' tomb. They love him. They're heartbroken that he's dead. In verse 2, there's a violent earthquake. How terrifying! An angel from heaven, really does roll this time, rolls back the stone over the entrance to Jesus' tomb, and he sits on it. His appearance is like lightning. His clothes are white as snow. The Roman guards are terrified and drop down as though dead. The angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Jesus always promised that he would die and rise again. Now verse 6, "Come and see the place where he lay." Now would that convince you? It certainly convinced Jesus' first disciples, and they were willing to die for their conviction that the resurrection is true. Well, these women aren't just told this for their own benefit. They're called to be the first evangelists. They're called to tell others, just as we are called to tell others. Verse 7. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." And of course, they did see him. The women hurry off, afraid, in verse 8. Well, you would be, but filled with joy. They run to the disciples. When suddenly, Jesus met them. Verse 9. What a moment. Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. What a moment. But you know what? You can meet him too. And you can worship him. Again, the women are sent out as evangelists. Jesus says to them in verse 10, "Do not be afraid." He understands our fear. "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Go and tell my brothers. And Christians have been telling people ever since, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And now I'm telling you, death is defeated. Sin is defeated. Hell is defeated. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You can leave here with a certainty of eternal life. We will all die, but Jesus' resurrection means we can be resurrected. We can live forever. In the words of Queen, that's the rock band, not Her Majesty, there's no time for us, there's no place for us. What is this thing that builds our dreams yet slips away from us? Who wants to live forever? Who wants to live forever? There's no chance for us. It's all decided for us. The world has only one sweet moment set aside for us. Who wants to live forever? Who wants to live forever? Who? Do you want to live forever? Easter says you can live forever. Dr. S. Joshua Swamidas is a physician, scientist, and assistant professor of laboratory and genomic medicine at Washington University in St. Louis. He recently wrote of his convictions as a scientist and a Christian. I am a scientist. Still, on Easter, I celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead about 2,000 years ago. This event in first century Palestine is the cornerstone of everything. In the same way that trust-like faith in science is connected to evidence, so is the faith I have in the resurrection. If you would like to look at the evidence for the resurrection, which convinced many of us, we recommend a book called Cure for Life, which goes over the evidence. If you're not yet convinced, look at the evidence. Perhaps join us at one of our Christianity Explored courses, where again we look at the evidence. Have a look at it. Make an informed decision. But if you are convinced, commit your life to Christ. God loves you. Even though you and I have done many things wrong, Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead that you and I might be forgiven. Know God, and know that we're going to heaven. If you'd like to know the certainty of these things, please speak to one of us afterwards. Now let's pray. A moment of silence for each one of us to consider where we stand before God. You may want to say to God for the first time, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he rose again for me. Now I want to make him my King, my Lord, and my Savior. Father, we do thank you for Jesus. And we pray that for each one of us, these things might be real and personal. That each one of us here might know the forgiveness of our sins, a relationship with you, and the certainty of heaven and eternal life when we die. And having done that, Lord, may we be like these first disciples and tell others. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.